I'm John Batchelor with Professor Toby Wilkinson. The last dynasty, this is the Ptolemies. We started in the 4th century BCE. We're now in the 1st century BCE, and Rome is on the scene. We've established the fact that Cleopatra VII, the woman who we know is just Cleopatra, glory of her father, has a progenitor, a legend to live up to. The legend was real, but it's hard to believe here 2,000 years later, Cleopatra III, who fought everybody. But Cleopatra VII, at 18, is suddenly swept into the presence of a man named Caesar. Caesar's come to Egypt. Why? Because the man he was battling for the Roman Civil War, Pompey the Great, is dead in Egypt. And Caesar comes to Egypt mostly because he's looking to conquer. The civil wars are still not entirely extinguished. And then he meets, is she 18, Professor? 18-year-old Cleopatra?
Yeah.
And at this point, he has wives, he has a civil war, he has an army, and he's 55? I can't remember how old he is at the time.
He's in his early 50s, a battle-hardened veteran. She's a young woman in the first sort of flush of youth. It's an unlikely combination, but somehow the chemistry worked. I think it helped that Caesar saw in Cleopatra a way of getting the keys to Egypt and its great wealth. And what did Cleopatra see in Caesar? Well, she saw a powerful protector who would defend her interests against those of other members of her family. So it was a win-win.
I understand, but it's hard. Again, this is another part of your story where if it wasn't history, we'd say you can't make that stuff. I mean, you know, nobody believes this. She wanted to protect her. Did he recognize that she had skills? Did he know about the Cleopatra reputation?
Well, not when they first met. I mean, she was still a young woman. She still had a long way to go and a lot to prove. But he must have known what later Roman authors write about, which is that she had an extraordinary magnetism. She was one of those people who, when she walked into a room, she just owned the room and everybody kind of listened to what she had to say. She was a great speaker. She was a great intellect, like her forebears in the dynasty. She had a shrewd mind. All of that must have appealed to Caesar. She, as I said, had the keys to Egypt, and he was pretty keen to get a slice of Egypt and its fabled wealth.
Immediately, there are battles, and it's really hard to tell this part, but here's where the library burned. And we're told that it burned as an accident of defending Alexandria from the sea and from the land. Caesar only had, I think, a bare minimum of soldiers with him, and they were holed up in the palace, and they set the ships on fire that were in the harbor. That fire spread to the library? Is that what happened?
That's exactly right. Yes, they were worried that the ships in the harbor might sort of blockade them where they were holed up in the royal palace. So he had his troops set fire to the ships. There was an onshore wind blowing at the time. The flames spread from the ships onto the harbour and the wharves, and the library and its storerooms were all located there. And before you know it, the greatest repository of human knowledge in the ancient world, 400,000 volumes covering every discipline of academic study, have literally gone up in smoke.
There was a practice of making copies when anybody came to Alexandria and had a book on board. And then they would give the copy to the original owner and keep the original. Those copies are still out there, Professor? We have 30 seconds.
Probably not. they've long gone.
Oh, what a crime to lose that library. The last dynasty, ancient Egypt, from Alexander the Great to Cleopatra. When we come back, Mark Antony. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.